We'd like to invite Dennis to come up, and Dennis has got God's word for us, and it's going to be good.
I'm sorry about what happened about the announcements. That was my fault, by the way. I hit this button over here, and then it messed it up. So I'll write an email to myself later about that. All right, so small group starts today. Actually, it actually already started. Our first small group just happened this morning. So that was the OT story. So we're really excited about that. So in line with that, I had a message this morning just about Christian community, the importance of it, what the Bible has to say about it. So I'm going to kind of intro and segue into our message like this. So I'm going to have a little Bible trivia, but really it's really English language trivia. So see if you know this answer, okay? The biblical name that is also a word in the English dictionary, right? Is it Ruth, Philip, Balaam, Potiphar, Lamech? So you'll find all of these names in the Bible, and it'll say, you know, this is the name of a character in the Bible. But one of these is actually also a word that has a definition. So how many of you guys think it's Ruth? Raise your hand. No one. Okay. Philip, how many of you? A couple. Balaam, a couple more. Potiphar, a bit more. Lamech, okay, even more. So, okay, the correct answer is, this Bible trivia, English language trivia, drum roll, is A, Ruth, compassion. So no one got the answer right. All right, so Ruth in the Bible, it's a character in the Bible. It also means compassion. And so kind of in line with that, the title of today's message is Ruth or Ruthless, compassion or compassionless. And I take no credit for that, by the way. I borrowed that from someone else. So we're obviously looking at the story of Ruth, the book of Ruth. So you can open there in your Bible. We're talking about Ruth or ruthless, compassion or compassionless. So let's take a look at this story. By the way, the way to find Ruth, this is a side note, I guess. But one of my Bible teachers taught me how to remember where Ruth is in the Bible. It's Joshua judges Ruth. I don't know why he does that, but that's what Joshua did. And so that's just a little side note, how to remember the book of Ruth. It seems like it's not helpful to any of you, but it was helpful to me. All right, so the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 1, 1 through 5. All right, so here it is. Let's read this out loud together. Ruth chapter 1, 1 through 5. In the days when judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. All right, so there was this family of four, and they were happily living in Bethlehem. So there was the dad, Elimelech, there was the mom, Naomi, and there was these two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And the way, when I was meditating on this passage, I envisioned this picture of this family. It was like a picture-perfect family. Right, they're standing in front of their house with the white picket fence and their dog. It was the parents and there was the two sons. Just a perfect picture of a perfect family, this family of four. But then things begin to unravel for them. So watch some of the tough stuff of life begin to happen to them. So let's start out in verse 1. It says, there was a famine in the land. So a famine came upon where they're living in Bethlehem in Judah. And then in verse 3, it tells us that they went, second portion of verse 1, they went to live for a while in the country of Moab. So the best place they could find to go in the midst of this famine was an enemy territory. Moab was their enemy, and so they had to go and flee there. And then in verse 3, we find out that Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. So tragedy strikes. And so her husband dies. Verse 4, we find out that her sons were able to marry, in Moab. But then in verse 5, we find out what happens. Verse 5, Mahlon and Chilion also died. Naomi lost her husband, her sons. There's famine in the land. I think you would agree there was a domino effect, a spiraling downwards in her life, tragedy happening once, twice, three times. And I wanted to point out here, I think it's important to point out, these are things that were completely out of her control. Right, there was stuff that was happening. She couldn't control it. She couldn't control the famine. She couldn't control that her husband died. She couldn't control that her sons died. And I think here this morning, some of us have some situations in our lives, maybe not the same, obviously not the same circumstances, maybe not as severe, but things are happening in our lives where we feel like there's a domino effect of things going wrong, things that we cannot control. And this was what was happening with Naomi. And so we find out, what happens next? What does Naomi do? What do we do when things are spiraling out of control? So let's read this next portion. So we're in Ruth chapter 1, 8 through 9. And this is what begins to happen, how the situation unfolds with this domino effect of tragedy happening for Naomi. Okay, verses 8 through 9. Let's read this out loud together. So it says, then Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. So we're not going to read the whole surrounding passage. But what happened was Naomi was telling her daughter-in-laws, you're better off going back to your family of origin. Don't stick with me, because there's no future with me. Go back to your family of origin. Maybe there's going to be a future for you if you go back with them. And this leads us to the most dramatic, most touching part of this story, Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. Let's see the response of Ruth. Let's read this out loud together. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. Ruth expressed her deep commitment to Naomi. And if you read the rest of the book of Ruth, you find out that Ruth actually carried out on this deep commitment. This might be the most eloquent, touching expressions of human-to-human love in Scripture, of Ruth's response to Naomi, her deep commitment to her. Now, I think all of us would agree, this is really beautiful, this is great that Ruth had this type of commitment towards Naomi. I think all of us would agree, this is important. It was important. It's important to have a Ruth in our lives, to be a Ruth to others. But this morning, I kind of want to raise the urgency of us to be the Ruth to others, of us to receive Ruths into our lives in this ruthless world. So I want to just kind of share a little bit about a little personal journey, but really it's really a story of what's happening in our generation and just what's happening in our area. So 1 year ago, many of you remember that there's this pastor right down the freeway from us who was struggling with depression and anxiety, Andrew Stokelyn, who committed suicide, right? Literally right down the freeway. The church is like in Chino, right off the freeway. And, you know, lots of us, even in our community here, you know, we were kind of affected by that because some of us here even have friends that go to that church. And so that was that situation, August 2018. Then I think a lot of you know that even this month, there was another tragedy that happened. Maybe about 30 miles away, Riverside, there was another pastor, Jared Wilson, Harvest Christian Fellowship, so a little bit close to home because it's a Calvary Chapel. The Vineyard came out of the Calvary Chapel, and he was struggling with depression his whole life, and he also took his life this past month. And these stories, it hits close to home, number one, because it's literally close to home. For me, it hits close to home because I have shared publicly about my personal struggles with anxiety. I have shared about how it's been a journey for me since I was 24 years old. I've shared about how for me it's been finding the Ruth. It's been finding the roots. It's about for me it's been counseling. For me it's been seeking out mentorship. One thing that I feel really blessed by, and I've shared it with you, is that when I turned 40 years old, I just found that there was about 5 60-something-year-old men who were in my life and pouring into my life. Those are my roots. And after I began to open that up and share that with some, then in our community, there was a bunch of people that started opening up about struggles with anxiety, depression, loneliness. And I think that, like, this situation literally happens right down the freeway from us. It's a wake-up call, isn't it, just for the church, especially for the church, to be proactive about being the roots to each other, about receiving roots into our lives. Because tragedy is striking, and you know, all over the country and all over the world, but even right down the freeway from us, and honestly, right here in this room. And God is called, he allows these things to happen. He didn't want these things to happen, but he allows these things to happen as a wake-up call for us, that we would be proactive in this. You know, it's interesting, isn't it, that God could just come himself and he could just minister to us, which he does. Right, and ministers to us and rescues us out of anxiety, depression, loneliness, and all the rest. But a lot of times, he chooses to use it person to person, and he uses people to minister to people. It was really interesting, because as I was meditating on this passage, preparing for this message, I came across this one video of our national director, Phil Strout, speaking about this topic. And I want to show you about a minute and 15-second clip of him and his sharing. So this is our national director. And look what he says about this, about being roots to each other. And he doesn't put it that way, but that's what he's talking about. Let's take a look at this video.
It always perplexes me why God chooses to use earthlings to help earthlings. Why didn't he say, like, angels or, like, you know, just Jesus? But he says, no, I'm going to use you to help you. I'm going to use those people to help those people. I'm going to make those people a light to those people. It's always about people. This is always plural. It's a big deal. We're talking about partnerships. I like this phrase here where it says, the creation of a people, not an individual. Takes a lot of pressure off you and I. It's a paradigm. It's a paradigm of the kingdom. It's a paradigm of doing ministry long haul. And this is not about short haul reality. One of the very, 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 very big deals of lasting a long time in ministry and doing this missional stuff all over the world, not for a 5-year stretch, not for a 10-year stretch, but for a 10, a 20, and a 30, a 40, a 50-year stretch, is the fact that this is not about us as individuals. It's about the fact of, as a body, as a people. So whatever you do, do together.
Earthling to earthling, Phil Strout says. You know, I just want to share a little story about this past week for me. This past week was kind of a hard week. And, you know, so my daughter, she fell. She cut her forehead. And so, you know, stitches, ER, just kind of craziness for us in that sense. But it was also just a really hard week just in ministry. And I was, you know, texting our prayer team this week about that. And just they're praying for me. So fast forward to Thursday morning. And so Thursday morning, there's an area pastors meeting. That's our East LA pastors and leaders. We gather together every once in a while, just really as a small group for Vineyard pastors. And so on Thursday morning, I remember I just had no bandwidth to, you know, go socialize and that sort of thing. And so I even called the evangelist that morning when I was about to head out. I said, man, I just you know, there's just not another thing I can take on and just go and do. But I decided to go, I walk into the room where we're at, at the Pomona Vineyard, and immediately, some of you guys know Jacob Gaines, pastor at the Glendora Vineyard, came right up to me, and he, you know, so he immediately asked me, you know, what's happening. I told him, you know, about what was happening with Jubilee, fell off a chair, cut her head in our kitchen, etc. And he just said, he just started telling me about a situation happened to him 2 years ago where he had 16 stitches on his forehead. Then he pointed to his forehead where there was absolutely no scar. You couldn't just tell it, you know, you just couldn't tell it at all, which was one of my concerns, by the way, about scarring. And I'm telling you, literally, the presence of God just fell down. And it was just so strong that I literally, after Jacob just kind of ministered to me, I literally stepped out of the room and just texted the evangelist and just told her about, you know, what happened. Because a lot of times it's person to person. It's God using people in the body of Christ to minister to people in the body of Christ. Earthling to earthling, human to human, Ruth to the one where life is treating us ruthlessly. And really this is the vision of the small groups. Right, not that the small groups is really the starting point, not that it's the be-all, end-all, but that when we gather up into the small groups that we could literally be the Ruths to one another. Because, listen, I mean, I'm sure there's people here this week that life has treated you ruthlessly, and you need a Ruth. But if you don't need a Ruth, let's be a Ruth to someone else, because someone else needs a Ruth. I just kind of wanted to briefly share, too, about just being a Ruth to each other. So, you know, I counted a miracle, and I've shared this so many times, right? I counted a miracle that I stand up here in front of you and kind of have a position where I'm interacting socially all the time, because I guarantee you I'm the shyest person that you'll ever meet. And I was the kid in high school that sat by himself, that I could now just interacting socially, like literally every single day. I counted a miracle of how God just redeems that redeems the stuff that we've been through. Right now, I've shared in the past that how I could walk into a room with 30 people, 100 people, my eyes and my heart immediately goes to the person who is lonely. I mean, I could say it's almost supernatural that happens, but it's because of the stuff that I've been through in my own life. You know, so I train my kids at home about this. You know, just last week, we were sitting around the dinner table. My two boys are in school already. And I said to him, you know, listen, what we do in this family is we are going to go on the playground and we're going to find the kid that's by himself and we're going to gather him into our group to be friends with them. And I told him the reason why we're going to do that is because daddy used to be that kid that was on the playground. And they were like, oh, man, I probably shouldn't have done that to them. But they were like, oh my gosh, you know. I said, you got to go rescue daddy. But I gather up our church family together this morning, and I want to say the same thing to you. That's what we're going to do in this family, is we're going to go out, and we're going to find the one that's hurting, the one that's lonely, and we're going to bring them in and love them with the love of Jesus. Because in this world, especially in this day and age, it's ruthless things happening left and right. That God's going to fill us with his love, that we are going to be the Ruth to others. Amen. You might say, this is a great idea. But Dennis, how are we going to have the power? How are we going to do this? It's hard to be the Ruth. I want to show you one more thing from this passage. So turn over a couple pages, Ruth chapter 4, 13 through 15. Here we go. Let's read this out loud together. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." So Boaz is a type of Christ. Jesus is a greater Boaz. So the way we're going to do this is that we're going to have a relationship with Jesus And like we just sang it this morning, is love is strong. That Jesus' strong love will pour into our lives. That we would turn around and it would be supernatural. It would be the love of Jesus. To those who life is treating ruthlessly, we extend the love that's poured out into us and we extend it to them and we be the Ruth to others. You know, for us this morning, we're here, some of us, we need a Ruth. Some of us this morning, it's our calling and it's our privilege as Christians to be the Ruth to others. But it's all the same. We turn towards Jesus, whose strong love begins to fill us up. And as his perfect love fills us up, we could be the Ruth to others. Others could be the Ruth to us. And that's how we continue to extend God's kingdom. So can we, let's just pray together and respond in prayer and minister to each other this morning. Be the Ruth to each other. Receive the Ruths into our lives. So how about let's stand, a prayer team, if you can come up, and worship team, if you can come up now as well. Let's respond to God's word. Let's stand together. We have a couple words from our prayer team. Prayer team, you can come up too, especially Ron and Angela. Come on up and share these words. Before they share, I just felt to pray and minister to those that are struggling with anxiety, depression, loneliness, and I believe God's love is here for you. But Angela, Ron, you guys want to share some of the words that the prayer team got this morning too?
If you're struggling at work right now, I think one of the words from the Lord this morning was that there's people who are worried about their jobs. They either you're bored with it and you just can't do it right now because you're just bored and you don't feel, or it's overwhelming you and you're just having trouble just getting the confidence to do your job. God wants to come. God wants to help you with your job. God wants to bless you in your job. He wants to give you what you need to do it and give you confidence and bless you in your work. you can either come forward. Yeah, you would pray where they are. You can come forward. We'll pray for you.
Cool. I had two words, and the first one I want to share is the word even. I saw the word even, and I was like, oh, I had no idea what that meant, but like we're nearing the evening of 2019, and it's such a cool thing that our congregation or our church gets to close off this back half of the year with small groups, and it's like our leadership, it's such a special thing that we're doing as a church, and I felt like God was saying that he wants to use this time to even some things out in our church, in our society that we represent. And it reminded me of this passage in Isaiah 26, verse 7. It says, "The path of the righteous is level. You, the upright one, make the way of the righteous smooth." And I feel like that is a verse for us as we go into small groups. And I was just wondering if the small group leaders and coordinators could come up. I don't mean to call you out, but I am. So if you could just come up to the front, we would just like to pray for you. If you're part of the prayer team or you're a leader in this church and you would just like to lay hands on our new small group leaders, please feel free to do so. And my second word, so yeah, just make your way over. I'm going to give my second word. The second word I had was bones. And if you're feeling concerned, like medically concerned about your bones, you feel like there's arthritis or there's something about your bones that's a little bit weak or deficient in calcium, I want you to come up and also receive prayer. And if you had, if Ron's word applied to you, please come up. We're gonna lay hands on you as well. Thank you.
All right, so come on up if that applies to you, any of these things apply to you. Let us be the Ruth to you today. And let his kingdom come down. So I'm going to say a prayer and then we're going to worship to a really powerful psalm that speaks of love, of God's love coming down. So let me pray for us first. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Jesus, we turn to you. It's got to be about your perfect love pouring out on us and through us. So Lord, I pray that you would release the Ruth anointing, compassion. Release your love now. We welcome you in Jesus' name.